Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene. Know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody. This is Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior from Brisbane, and you are listening to Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. Welcome, everybody, and welcome to Daisy Papp, my podcast partner from Florida Keys. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Kathy, my dear friend. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Daisy. I've had a very busy week and we're doing so much for the podcast. There's so much to do, but we're super excited. We've nearly released 10 episodes, so we're pretty happy so far with how it's going.
I would say, I think it's very exciting. So I'm very content. And we got so nice feedback. So thank you to our listeners. Thank you to all the supporters. And thank you to all the new members in our Facebook group, the Dream Life Creators. We're so excited. It's really thrilling, thrilling.
It is. We've had, I think, over 100 new members in the first couple of weeks since we've really been busy in there. And it's exciting to see because the more people we get in the group, the more people we can help to a deeper level.
That's the point.
Yes. On the podcast, we go through certain topics and give you tools and tips, but we go a step further in the group and we give you further exercises to do. And we're also doing things like interviews and quizzes. And we're going to be bringing you so much information about how to actually start working towards your dream life following our dream life roadmap. So we're very excited about the group. If you want to join us, it's called Dream Life Creators Bald Warrior. Just search that on Facebook and come on in. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, that would be exciting. So we have even more people then to share what we collected and selected and acquired throughout our lifetimes.
Yes. And on that note, today we are going to talk about triggers. And I think it's a really important subject. We've touched on self-sabotage in our second episode. And so today I want to talk about triggers and how we can deal with being triggered, because this is the thing that sets us off. So when I looked up triggers in order to do this episode, what I found out is that technically a trigger is a reminder of a past trauma that can cause overwhelming sadness, anxiety, panic, and even flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree. You did your homework. Of course, for you, it's easy because you're the one choosing the topics and I'm here always sitting on pins and needles waiting for the surprise.
That's it, everybody. I don't give Daisy the topic until we're about to record. And we do that on purpose so that these episodes are very natural and unplanned. And we love it. We love doing it this way.
I love it too. I almost feel like a stand-up comedian without comedy, partially.
Without a script.
Yes. Good topic you chose. And I have the feeling that we all, and I rarely speak in generalization terms, I do believe that we all have had some triggers or still have them. And the first thing that comes to my mind is that it's torturing ourselves repeatedly, although it happened usually only one time.
Yes, it's almost being stuck in a time loop because of the trauma.
The time loop, I like that. I usually refer, when I work with clients one-on-one, to a time bubble. And that time bubble, imagine a bubble, you know, when you take the soap and then you create your own bubbly water and then...
I think everybody blew bubbles as a kid, right?
Yes, exactly. And as if that bubble got frozen. It's like a snapshot and we need to melt it. That's my intention when I work one-on-one, so that it can unfreeze and that it can start moving again. And we can then, after we looked at it and healed that part in our inner world, then reintegrate it as a healed part instead of being a frozen something like a cell that we have zero control over.
So it's usually a memory that's being brought back up for us, right? So if we're triggered, we'll have an emotional response, but it's actually because of something we went through in our life that we haven't really worked through the emotion around it. So it keeps coming back up.
I agree with you. And in addition to that, because our subconscious mind stores everything, everything is recorded. It's like the black box on a plane. Everything, every shift, every little switch, everything, the altitude, the latitude, and every single thing that plane does is recorded on the black box. And our subconscious mind is recording everything and anything that we experience if we are aware of it or if we're not aware of it. And that even starts in the womb.
Wow.
Because like little babies, our hearing develops quite early on. That is the time when we start hearing the heartbeat of our mothers in stereo because we hear it with both ears. Have you ever thought of it that when a baby is born, usually the first thing they do, they put the baby on the chest of the mother?
Yes, to feel the heartbeat and hear the heartbeat.
Yeah. So there are many things that are soothing to a newborn. They made some experiments with pregnant women that sometimes there's an evening show or something that they really enjoy watching. And there is a specific music to it. And that is when mommy, the pregnant mommy, is resting, putting her legs up, is calming down, maybe end of the day or maybe during nap time. During the day. And they made the experiment that they exposed the babies to these particular sounds of the beginning of that show when the baby was upset or crying after its birth, and the babies calmed down.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So whoever is out there pregnant, please take care of yourself and play nice music that's calming you. Make sure that you're having your calm moments because your baby will benefit once it's in this world. It's interesting. Now, back to the subconscious mind. Because everything is stored in there, let's say a baby experiences some difficulties during birth and there's no memory of the trauma. The baby can still be traumatized.
Because the subconscious. Right.
But now the baby as a grown-up can then maybe triggered by something that it is not possibly aware of.
Right.
So when we talk about memory is a different topic. And I think we will need to do a 1 week podcast about that because there's so much to say about memory and how we reconstruct memory. But we leave that to another time. Memory consists of specific parts. So first of all, we have the five senses. And let's say you're aware that something happened to you that was traumatizing to you or shocking. Or, oh, I feel paralyzed. Like that moment and then we stop breathing. So oftentimes we have memory of that. In that moment when the trauma happened, imagine as if you were taking a screenshot on your computer screen or on your smart device. Everything is on there that is on that screen. Now, when the trauma happens, that screenshot is made through our five senses. Most humans are visual, secondary is auditive. But then we have also the smells, the taste, and the feeling, so the physical sensations. When we then imagine that screenshot in the moment of the trauma when it occurred through the five senses, it is all stored in the subconscious mind. I give you an example. I had a client I worked with, she was severely traumatized and I don't know why it happened, it's 15 years ago. So we were working on the memory and we were changing pictures and so that she can have a different perception of what happened back then. And for some reason I forgot the taste because most of the time it's really not relevant. And then she said, yeah, but I still have that weird taste in my mouth. So we addressed that and only then she was able to really heal that part within her inner world so it doesn't trigger her anymore when there's something outside that reminds her through the five senses of the traumatizing event.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And I can see how the senses, whichever one or all of them, can trigger something like that.
Absolutely. Watch me when I go to the kitchen when my cookies are ready. Or sometimes you go close to the fridge and it smells funny. You know immediately, in an instant, something's not right there because maybe the cheese is a little bit starting to, or whatever is in there should be disposed.
Yeah.
So when we walk into a place, wherever we go, there can be an office, there can be a car dealership, there can be a friend's house, there can be a hotel, there can be anywhere, a museum. And we always sense everything through the five senses, but most of the time we're not aware of it.
Yeah, because we rely so much on our eyesight and our hearing that we tend to put less importance on the other senses. But if you blindfolded yourself your other senses would immediately kick in and become more important to the input mm-hmm. you're getting, right?
It's funny. In Hungary, they have a restaurant where blind people serve. It's pitch dark. And the guests receive even some little shawls over their eyes. So just in case there was a little bit of a light. And then they're being served. And the experience is quite extraordinary because the other senses, the hearing.
Oh, and taste.
The taste and the smell
yeah.
is increased.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that concept. How clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to take a short break. And after that, we are going to talk about what to do when you are triggered. We'll see you in a minute. And we're back, everybody. So let's talk to our listeners, Daisy, about what we should do when we get triggered. Because as you said, pretty much everybody has triggers. I know I certainly do. And sometimes it can be hard to know what to do when you are triggered because you get caught up in it. Sometimes you don't even realize you've been triggered.
I think the best is to catch yourself as soon as you realize something is off. Because we are living in such a quick world. Let's go back 100 years, 150 years. Our ancestors, they worked hard, no doubt, but there were that many tasks they needed to take care of. Today, we work hard as well, but there are so many different tasks that we accomplish. So it is very important for the brain to take some time off because the brain tries to be an energy saver and it's lazy. That's why habits and patterns are so important. Because if we would all, and you listeners there included, remember the first time we drove a car, we would probably never drive that far on a daily basis as we do without even knowing we arrive at B without even remembering how we got from A to B.
Yeah, it becomes second nature after.
Yeah, it becomes a habit.
Mm.
And these are very important to the brain because otherwise it would be overwhelmed. Mm. So what is very doable whenever we feel triggered, the sooner you notice it, the better you're off. Because it's kind of a curve. It's not, okay, I'm triggered and then I explode. I do that when I work with people with anger or even panic. There's a curve to it. It's not, okay, I'm triggered and then I'm going through the black hole. So I'm getting in, I'm getting sucked in, and then I find myself somewhere I didn't even expect to be. That's not the case. It is a curve. So imagine as if you were thinking of a curve on a piece of paper. If you were to draw a curve from the left side of your paper to the right top of the paper, imagine that you're wherever you are, right here, right now, listening to us, you're on the very low part at the beginning of the curve. And let's say I'm saying something that triggers you. Let me give you an example. I can say dog, and many of us have memories. Oh, there's such a cute puppy dog. Oh, is that adorable? Oh, I love it. And then there's this other part of people who are just scared of dogs or are allergic to dog hair. Hmm? And then the meaning of dog can cause a different response in our bodies. Agreed?
Yes. Yes.
So let's say I'm allergic to dogs. I'm not. I know this is another dog experience. And I know. I always come up with a neighbor dog. Let's say I see the dog or I hear the word dog or in the TV that I'm just watching, there is a dog and barking or I hear barking. Somebody has a phone ringtone that is barking dog, whatever that might be. And I feel triggered because maybe I was bit by a dog or attacked by a dog. Now, the first thing that happens is that I'm perceiving either the image or the sound or the dog strikes me because I'm walking on the beach and the dog comes and licks my calf, let's say. And that's when I realize, oh my God, the dog just licked me and I'm allergic to the dog hair. And then what happens next? Now, that is very crucial because now kicks in our thinking. So first comes the experience, the trigger itself. And what happens then? We start thinking, oh, this dog reminds me of, maybe not consciously, but what happens, you're still there in the bottom of that curve and now your thinking kicks in and then you're accumulating one memory on top of another and another dog barking at you when it scared you or you watched that stupid movie where the dog really was scary and scaring you because you were almost falling asleep because taking a nap because you were exhausted and then all you did, you woke up to the dog barking. And now what happens is because the accumulation of these memories, because the mind is not stupid, right? We want to survive. That's the main cause of our brains, wants to keep us safe.
Yes.
And the subconscious does as well. So it's trying to collect as quickly as possible all the data related to the trigger. And that collection of the data makes it worse. It's not the trigger itself.
That's really interesting.
Unless the bear is there and really threatens you. You and I, Canada, and we're walking in the woods and the grizzly shows up. Now, that's not a question of trigger.
No.
That's a question of danger. Run or gun.
Mm? Run faster than Daisy.
Oh, no, then the bear.
So we've got this collection of data, which is actually the issue. What do we do then?
I suggest have a look at your data that you have anyways and heal them so that you have less triggers. Because the external triggers you cannot control. I have no control if there will be one dog on the beach when I go there next time or 200 dogs on the beach when I go there next time. That's out of my control. But my response to the trigger, I can start controlling. And best is to have a look at your triggers while you're calm. Because once your reptilian is switched on, yes, we are doing an episode on the reptilian brain as well, I know. But once our primitive brain is absolutely on survival mode, where it's all about fight, flight, or freeze, survive this life, survive this situation, get out of here, bring me out of here. That is not the opportune moment to think about your triggers and how you're going to solve and gain a new response ability. So that you can respond instead of react. And then when you look at what usually triggers you, and then you go in there and make changes so you heal these old memories, you have a look at them. I truly believe you need to feel it so you can heal it. And you need to understand it to fix it. I believe that.
To feel it, to heal it.
Yeah, you need to feel it to heal it, and you need to understand it to be able to fix it. Let's say under my sink it's dripping, and I have no clue where the water comes from. How am I going to fix it?
Mm.
But once I understand, oh, so the water is coming in here and then there, and maybe here something loose. So once I understand it, that's when I can fix it. Same within us.
Yes.
In our inner world.
That makes sense. Yep.
And then when I'm in a calm moment, really reflecting on myself, taking an inventory on my triggers, when I go to restaurants and the waitress is too pretty, then I get jealous. I know some clients of mine have issues with that because of their own insecurities. That's the root cause. But once we address the root cause, then, you know, 200 of these pretty women can walk and serve and they're no longer triggered.
Right.
You see how it goes?
So we need to look at the root cause of the trigger.
I agree. And most of the time, it is good to have somebody who helps you with that.
Oh, absolutely. And I was just going to say that we're going to do group coaching sessions where we can look at these things.
Absolutely. And I'm very much looking forward to that because the dynamic in group sessions based on my, again, humble experience is just amazing because there's one person, let's say, volunteering to fix one thing in their inner world and we address it in front of the group and the group just does exactly the same with the trigger they're thinking of. Then the entire group gets some...
Gets the benefit.
Great benefit of it. Yeah. And then also the compassion that establishes and the empathy for the person volunteering. And then they see how it's really changing because you can see it on the body language and the facial expressions and the voice and the attitude. When things shift, it's just such a wonderful process. I love doing that. But if anyone out there is in need for really one-on-one, you can find all kind of information in the Facebook group or you can find me. When you Google my name, you will find all kind of info how you can reach me.
Oh, plus, of course, we've got a link to Daisy on the baldandblonde.live website. So you can get in touch with Daisy if you'd like one-on-one sessions. But we will be doing those group sessions because we believe that the group dynamic is very helpful.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap up the triggers topic, the last thing I'd like to say to our listeners is that when you are triggered, you'll know because of the emotional response you experience, right?
Yes, because here's what happens. The one traumatic event that happened to us, many of us have many traumatic events. Some are more lucky and have fewer. But let's say one specific traumatic event is triggered through something that you're experiencing in the right here, right now. Usually the problem is in the right here, right now, it feels even worse because everything related to that first traumatic event and all the following related triggers.
All the data's piled up.
Exactly. The data piles up and through your five senses. So I really suggest catch yourself as soon as you can and verbalize it. If there's someone around you, verbalize it. Let me recollect. I need a moment just to take off for myself, to recollect myself. And let me figure this out. And please, reality base yourself. I know this is a word, does not exist. I may have made it up. Maybe I didn't. Maybe there are other teachers using it as well. Look where you are. Just put yourself in the right here, right now. Come back to the right here, right now. Very important. It's essential. Feel the weight of your body. If you're laying, standing, walking, sitting, focus on your breathing. Oh, okay. So I'm breathing. I'm breathing. Put yourself back into here right now so that your fantasy and imagery does not go off and creates and projects the worst case scenario.
Because we're very good at that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Some better than others.
So once we do that, we bring ourselves to the present. We focus on our breathing and our body. And then that should calm us to not allow the trigger to send us off on the wrong path.
Yeah. And look around. Is it really safe here? If not, leave.
Yeah.
Is it safe? Yeah, there's one mosquito that's really trying to get a testing of my blood. But other than that, I have a roof over my head. I'm sitting here. It's quiet. It's silent. Yeah, actually, I'm safe. This is not that you are trying to convince yourself that the trigger is non-existent. No, you bring yourself back to the right here, right now, so that your mind is not wandering off to the worst case scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we're not stuck in our primitive brain response either.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's helpful. And I think that we can, as always, bring awareness to our now, and it will help us tell our brains to not go off on a reaction that may cause more trauma to ourselves.
Mm. And another thing that I may add here is don't take everything personally.
Oh, such an important point. It really is. And that's been a hard one for me to learn because I'm so sensitive. Mm. I spent a lot of my life taking things very personally, and I've had to learn to separate myself from that instinct and realize that everybody is entitled to their perspective, their point of view, and their opinions. And that doesn't mean that it's personal against yours.
Yeah, absolutely good insight. And remember that it's also okay for you to be just the observer of them throwing their fit or them sharing their opinion. And you're just like watching a show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You don't need to get involved into everything. Maybe. Or maybe yes, or maybe not.
We'll leave that to you to decide, listeners. And that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. We're so excited to have you as part of our audience. We're so thankful to all of our supporters out there who have just been fantastic and have reached out.
Thank you so much.
We will stop here today, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Make sure you like our podcast, comment, and leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. Share with your friends and loved ones. Leave a comment and reach out to us with questions and how we can help you change your life. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Talk to you next time.